Mameha and I spent the next hour in the servants' quarters, eating a lovely dinner that included taino usgiri, paper-thin slices of sea bream, fanned out on a leaf-shaped ceramic plate and served with ponzu sauce. I would certainly have enjoyed myself if Mameha hadn't been so moody. She ate only a few bites of her sea bream and sat staring out the window at the dusk. Something about her expression made me think she would have liked to go back down to the pond and sit, biting her lip perhaps, and peering in anger at the darkening sky. We rejoined the Baron and his guests already partway through their dinner in what the Baron called the small banquet room. Actually, the small banquet room could have accommodated probably 20 or 25 people, and now that the party had shrunk in size, only Mr. Arashino, Nobu, and Dr. Crab remained. When we entered, they were eating in complete silence. The Baron was so drunk his eyes seemed to slosh around in their sockets. Just as Mameha was beginning a conversation, Dr. Crab stroked a napkin down his mustache twice and then excused himself to use the toilet. I led him to the same hallway Nobu and I had visited earlier. Now that evening had come, I could hardly see the objects because of overhead lights reflected in the glass of the display cases, but Dr. Crab stopped at the case containing the swords and moved his head around until he could see them. "You certainly know your way around the Baron's house," he said.
"Oh, no, sir. I'm quite lost in such a grand place. The only reason I can find my way is because I led Nobu-san along this hallway earlier."
"I'm sure he rushed right through," the doctor said. "A man like Nobu has a poor sensibility for appreciating the items in these cases." I didn't know what to say to this, but the doctor looked at me pointedly. "You haven't seen much of the world," he went on. "But in time you'll learn to be careful of anyone with the arrogance to accept an invitation from a man like the Baron, and then speak to him rudely in his own house, as Nobu did this afternoon."
I bowed at this, and when it was clear that Dr. Crab had nothing further to say, led him down the hallway to the toilet. By the time we returned to the small banquet room, the men had fallen into conversation, thanks to the quiet skills of Mameha, who now sat in the background pouring sake. She often said the role of a geisha was sometimes just to stir the soup. If you've ever noticed the way miso settles in a cloud at the bottom of the bowl, but mixes quickly with a few whisks of the chopsticks, this is what she meant. Soon the conversation turned to the subject of kimono, and we all proceeded downstairs to the Baron's underground museum. Along the walls were huge panels that opened to reveal kimono suspended on sliding rods. The Baron sat on a stool in the middle of the room, with his elbows on his knees, bleary-eyed still, and didn't speak a word while Mameha guided us through the collection. The most spectacular robe, we all agreed, was one designed to mimic the landscape of the city of Kobe, which is located on the side of a steep hill falling away to the ocean. The design began at the shoulders with blue sky and clouds, the knees represented the hillside, below that, the gown swept back into a long train, showing the blue-green of the sea, dotted with beautiful gold waves and tiny ships.